Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Have a wonderful time. Talk to you later. Drive carefully.
All right, thanks.
Be careful.
I will.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 24, Bye-Bye, Billy. And now let's say hello, hello to our hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarity Budding.
Hello, hello, Sarah.
Hello, hello, Tara and Dave.
Shall we proceed?
Yes, let us.
All right. Let's start with our B plot. Wow, they jumped all the way up to B. Terrence's money is a problem for Rhonda again.
They even got clips, plural.
I know. Who knew? Who could have seen this coming? So Terrence ended up buying that tacky Tudor house. He wants Rhonda to help him decorate it, but also hired a decorator and expects Rhonda to basically manage her, which is weird and not her job, but anyway, he already set up an appointment and leaves before telling Rhonda the decorator's name so that it can be a surprise for us all that it's Carrie, Rhonda's crazy old compulsively tidy roommate played by Radon Jong. Neither of them is happy to see the other, but Carrie runs down all the ways her life improved after she moved out of Rhonda's place, and Rhonda is happy to hear she's doing so well. Carrie somewhat shadily guesses that Rhonda is Terrence's trainer. Rhonda says she's his girlfriend, and that's where the trouble starts in clip two.
Oh, fabulous. But of course, it was only a matter of time before you would find your Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, he's quite wonderful.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Excuse me, Rhonda, but that does not do the man justice. He's poetic.
How well do you know Terrence?
We had a couple of meetings at my office, but that's all I need to capture someone's essence. So I guess he sent you up here to keep an eye on me, make sure I don't go too crazy?
Something like that.
Well, you don't have anything to worry about. Everything is under control.
Okay. Still crazy. Uh-huh. Also, given as how detail-oriented it's been established that Carrie is, it's weird that she has not cut open the vent in her skirt, which you can see in the visual aids as she walks around. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So when Terrence actually makes it to the house with both women, it's a power struggle between them over which of them is right about Terrence's interest in chintz. Who care? Like, really? This is what is being spent on screen time.
Yeah.
So then later, Rhonda rants to Matt about the situation in clip three.
She called him Terry, and it was fine with him. Hell, everything she says or does is fine with him. Terry, I think we should burn the whole place down and put up a mohair teepee. Oh, sure. Why not, Carrie? I mean, after all, it'll go along with my softer side.
I legitimately LOL'd that when I watched it. Something about mohair teepee made me laugh, and then she does a pretty good imitation of Terrence. So
she does.
I don't know. Like, this plot line is dumb and taking way too long. And I think the only reason that scene existed was so that we would remember that Matt existed.
Yep.
And he, since he still has not done the world the favor of getting a fucking haircut, I didn't need a reminder that old used mop head was still kicking around in his message t-shirts. Like, get, send him to a barber and give him an actual boyfriend. Thank you and goodbye.
Yeah. But for now, his function is to tell Rhonda maybe she's jealous, which clearly she is, and that maybe she should do something about it. So what that turns out to be, go to the house and order Carrie to keep her hands off Terrence, except Carrie shoots back that a single man is fair game. So that didn't work. But a pin in that, that's where we're leaving it for now. Moving on to our A plot. Almost everyone's shit gets complicated by a carjacking. So at her place, Amanda brings stupid Billy the standard weekday breakfast in bed, which, as established in the last episode, is toast. And we hear this, clip four.
Breakfast is served.
Thank you. But who needs breakfast when I can make a meal out of you?
I'm never eating anything ever again, so thanks for looking out for me, dickhead.
I could make a meal out of you.
Ugh,
who
so gross.
Cast this guy? Why?
She can't possibly, I mean,
why
hit
isn't
her
she
him?
Him?
No.
I think I actually have a sound drop for this, which I'll spare you, but oh my god, it's just baffling.
So her phone rings, and when he tells her to leave it, she says she forgot to turn on her machine. That's not how answering machines worked. They're just on. Anyway, it's her dad. Amanda is immediately rattled. She invites him over to dinner to meet Billy, which, just to note, Amanda first appeared in episode 21. This is episode 24. So granted, we don't know how much time has passed in those episodes, but like, seems real soon to be meeting anyone's dad.
Yeah.
But fine. It's moot because Billy has tickets to see a play with Allison, and Amanda tries to convince Billy to get out of it by blowing him. And you know what? I bet it works. So elsewhere, Keith, the environmentalist, drives an old Mustang. Okay. I guess
what is with this show?
Yep.
They love Mustangs. They love showing people on skating dates. This is a TV in general thing that they really think that that's much more hilarious and compelling than it is.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And they love just letting men grab women by the arm when women don't want to talk to them.
Yeah, they do. Anyway, Keith is driving this car to the beach with Allison riding shotgun. He wants to talk about the first time they went to the beach. She doesn't want to dwell in the past, which he knows, but can't shut up about regardless, and forces her to tell him they're not picking up where they left off because she still doesn't trust him. And he takes this well, given how things started with them. Just kidding. He's a whiny bitch. Clip up.
You don't trust me. You don't really believe that I'm divorced? You want to see the papers?
No.
Well, then what do I have to do to prove myself to you? Just say the word, Allison, and I'll do it.
Nothing. Can't we just be friends for now?
You bet. The last thing I want you to feel is pressure. We're just a couple of old friends going out to lunch together at the beach. Nothing more. Just a couple of old pals.
Right. Oh,
what is she getting out of this? Like, honestly.
Well, really. Like, if you're not going to bone him. Next. Yeah.
At the shop, Jake is setting up when Joe stops by with pizza, which comments Sarah on the pizza.
I know that it's a very common, I am not a crackpot topic to say that people on TV do not act as though there's any liquid in their coffee cups, because there isn't. But this Emerita pizza delivery girl would like to note that you need to hold the pizza box level. Just put something in it. In fact, just put a pizza in it and you can feed the crew with it after. I'm just saying, don't hold a pizza box at a 45 degree angle. It makes me crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I'm losing a tip right now just looking at this.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Pizza box level. I am not a crackpot.
It's also like, go to a better quality of pizza place, because this box is so flimsy. It's like, that's fine for putting a light shirt from J. Crew in. That's not okay for a pizza.
Yeah. Or like two slices or a calzone is yes. what we would use that kind of box for.
Right. Yeah, it's like thin. It's like a thin shirt liner.
Yeah, it's cardboard. Short cardboard. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's our conflict. Joe then gets right to their dumb conflict of the week in clip six.
You know, Jake, I've been thinking. I think we need a business plan. You know, just so we know what we have and where we're going.
Joe, you're the silent partner, remember?
Yeah, no, I know. I protect my investment, right?
Yeah, you do. It's your mm-hmm. money, so he doesn't necessarily get to talk to you like that unless he does, which is something that you should have worked out with, like, things that you signed
yeah.
that were stamped by a notary before you handed over the money.
Mm-hmm. So Jake gets mad that it sounds like she doesn't believe he can handle this by himself. But Joe says she just thinks he should consider getting an accountant to handle the books. And if he wasn't going to do this, then, oh boy, she was silent for way too long.
Yeah.
And still, Jake will only say that he will think about it. So she then starts to ask what, again, we are going to call the place, but quickly corrects herself off his look. The very creative Jake was thinking Jake's Bikes, and Joe pretends to like it, not convincingly, as you can see in the visual aids. Their elaborate eye roll.
What would she call it, though?
Well, I don't know.
The town bike?
I mean, he is, so it would be cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, remember that play that Billy was going to go to? Well, when we next see Allison, she's on the phone whining recriminations at Billy about abandoning his commitments. Billy thought that Keith could take his ticket, but Keith has a business dinner / job interview. And with Amanda seriously 3 feet away in the same room, Billy tells Allison that he'd rather spend the evening with her, but Amanda's dad's in town and the dad's opinion of Billy matters to Amanda. Allison wouldn't care about getting blown off, except she was counting on Billy to drive her. But after she hangs up, Keith tells her not to take a cab. She can take his car, though he immediately regrets it when she has to drop him off at his dinner first and she rides the clutch too hard. Cut to Amanda's apartment, where jazz is once again playing and Amanda's dad is holding forth about single malt scotch. Unbearable. When Billy politely says he's a beer man, Mr. Woodward states that beer isn't a writer's drink. Billy says it is when you make a living as a cab driver. So Mr. Woodward declares that he's pouring Billy one before dinner. And as he wanders off, Billy quietly tells himself he hates scotch. I would say tell Mr. Woodward that, but there's really no good way other than to say you're sober, which too late.
Yeah.
And in the kitchen, Amanda fishes for compliments unsuccessfully in clip 7.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
He's not for you.
Why? Because he's so good looking? Intelligent with a sense of humor, or because I like him so much?
No, because he's so incredibly successful.
Dad, Billy is a very talented writer. I've read some of his stories and they're wonderful.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Woodward 2020, just saying.
Yeah, but also like, you know, don't make her stay with this guy to spite you. It seems obvious.
Yeah.
That's what you're
like. Just be like, he seems really grounded, and then mm-hmm. just don't ever bring him up.
Yeah.
And make sure she's on birth control. I don't know.
Right. So after the play, Allison is walking way too nervously to Keith's car on a deserted street, and not to victim blame, but really does make herself easy prey to the two guys who grab her, stick a gun in her face, and demand the car keys and her purse. Fortunately for her, they just shove her against a fence and peel out in the car while she, clip 8.
Oh,
I still don't have the first explanation for these production choices.
No.
Like, have you ever seen Stayin' Alive, the sequel to Saturday Night Fever?
Of course.
It's one of the worst movies ever made. I've probably seen it a dozen times.
Don't ask. Love it. Yes.
Talk about my terrible production choices. Anyway, the whole like climactic show in which Tony and what's her face from General Hospital are like they're in the show. It winds up being like a 2.5 minute scene. And it's just like guitar licks performed by Frank Stallone, by the way. And people in like red unitards doing back bends. And this is that. It's like Battlefield Earth, the carjacking musical. Why are we doing this? Also, we did this already.
Yeah.
With Billy. They didn't take the car, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. But yeah, she's just like, she's pressed up against this chain link fence and she's just like bellowing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how I would react in that situation. Thank God I have never been carjacked, touch wood, you know, but it just seems very strange.
Yeah. It's just very, it's not like she left the keys in the car and it got stolen and she's like sort of yelling at herself for being stupid.
Right.
There's just this like anguished universe, hear my cry. Like, you know, your child wasn't killed.
Yeah, it just seems like this is the moment where, like, at this time, what you're trying to do is get somewhere safe. And then when you are, that's when you break down and start screaming like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Anyway, after the commercial, Allison's in bed worrying that the criminals know where she lives because they have her purse. Well, Keith unhelpfully says that the city's out of control and informs her that they just wanted the car. Like, probably, but you don't know that. Also, she's never seen a real gun before that night. She thought that the guy was going to kill her. He could have, and all she could think was why she parked on the street. And Keith correctly says they were going to probably take the car one way or another. And he suggests that she stay home from work, but she would rather be distracted than spend the day reliving the incident. And then Billy comes in, looking askance at Keith for still being there. But when he kind of shittily asks about the play, Allison smugly gets to tell him about getting carjacked. And Billy's upset and wants to know why she didn't call. So she even more smugly plays him the tearful message she left that he never heard because he was choking down scotch at Amanda's place. Which, like, I get it. But, you know, he didn't make this happen. Like, it don't make him feel worse. I feel. Anyway. Turns out Allison might as well have stayed home because next we see her at work having flashbacks of the robbery. When Amanda comes up behind her and puts a hand on her shoulder, Allison jumps, and then Amanda says Billy told her what happened. So, I don't know, maybe come toward her from the front? Just a thought?
Yeah, and she Amanda didn't have, wants, like, earphones on or anything. So, just, like, go around to the desk. Like, I'm sorry the episode director didn't feel like blocking it this way, but take 5 minutes and put some tape down. This isn't how people act towards each other in the office. I don't know.
No. So Amanda wants to commiserate, but Allison just wants to go home. And then Billy and his fucking leather vest, which you can see in the visual aids, obviously, are out on the sidewalk with Amanda somewhere. He's beating himself up about Allison's having gone to the play alone and making herself pray because he didn't give her enough time to find someone else to go with, which this is literally all Matt is here for. So it's on her if she didn't think to ask him. But anyway, then it's Amanda's turn to feel bad for her dad's surprise visit. Billy insists that he should have been there for Allison, and Amanda gives him a secret sidelong look like, was her dad right that he's bullshit? Yes, but not for the reasons he thought.
Yeah.
Back to the complex, Allison's getting ready to go do her laundry, but she's alone and the lights burned out and she's too scared to go down there alone. And just by the way, there would almost certainly not be a basement laundry room at an apartment complex in LA. There's hardly any basements in LA at all. And any writers who lived in LA would know that, but that's not the point. The point is that she's still having flashbacks and has thoroughly freaked herself out when Keith finds her down there and takes her to a fancy hotel with a fireplace in the room and everything, which the robbery didn't happen at her apartment, but whatever works, dude. And now that he's laying on the seduction routine, she feels like she's been unfair to him. But he thinks that trust is the most important part of a relationship, and he wants her to believe in him and feel safe however long it takes. And she likes to think of herself as strong and independent, but she would have been a basket case if not for him. He thinks she just needs a good night's sleep and to forget about being strong. He'll be strong for her just for tonight. And that does it. She goes in for a kiss. Oh, Allison. The morning after, Allison has no regrets. She even feels closer to Keith than before because of her ordeal. So maybe something good came out of it, she thinks. Or maybe not, because she feels like everyone she sees is a potential threat and that she's lost the last bit of courage required for her to live in L.A. Keith promises she won't always feel this way. She feels guilty that while he's out of work, he has to spend more money on a rental car and a nice hotel room, and maybe he should just stay at her place. Billy's almost never there, so there's plenty of room. Keith would love to. And oh, Allison, I know you're mad at Billy for not being home when you called, but bitch, you cannot just do that to your roommate.
Yeah. Also, he started dating Amanda like 4 days ago in Showtime. Like, let things settle.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Also, him?
Yeah. Ugh. So, Amanda trying to make Billy into the person she wants her dad to think she thinks he is brings Billy to look at her favorite sculpture. Looks like it's on a university campus. I'm sure someone knows which one it is. Amanda wants to know why Billy's been so distracted all day, and he claims it's that he's been thinking that she should start painting again. But he has something he needs to take care of, which is checking on Allison. Amanda guesses that's not actually what... Amanda guesses that's actually what Billy's been thinking about, not her or her painting. But he claims he's only thinking about Allison because of the robbery, but Amanda is not having it in clip 9.
This is nuts. I introduce you to my dad. I fight with him over you. And the whole time, you're really in love with someone else.
You're overreacting. Look, I'll come over later.
No, you won't. I don't want to see you again until you know what you want.
Ugh.
Prior to this, she said she loved him. Guys, it's been 4 days. Yeah. Furthermore, it's Billy.
Yeah.
No.
No.
And he's, Shu is essaying his customary inappropriate / non-affect, where he thinks every scene he's in is comedic, and he just sort of has this, like, semi-leer that he's like, come on, you're overreacting. Like, could you try to comprehend the words that are on the page and reflect an emotion, no matter how clumsy, that would be appropriate to the scene that you're in?
Yeah. Or pay attention to your partner in the scene and reflect back the energy that she is giving you, maybe?
Yeah. I mean...
Well, he doesn't.
No. No, he does not.
So, at the apartment, Joe cheerily tells Allison that she was once mugged at knife point in New York and that Allison will get her false sense of security back soon enough, which I actually thought was pretty funny because
yeah, that was a good
true.
Line.
Joe asks about Keith, and Allison tells her about him moving in for a while, and Joe asks if it's love or a bodyguard. Allison claims she just has a new appreciation of what a great guy Keith is. Barf. Then Joe asks if Allison has any plans right now and takes her to a shooting range. Joe got her gun right after Charles showed up. Allison gets off one shot and doesn't care to try another, gasping in shock that Joe keeps the gun in her apartment. And Joe, starting to get offended, says it's for protection. Allison says that it's dangerous and one accident could end with someone's death, but Joe haughtily says she's careful and has had training. When? Allison doesn't want anything to do with guns, and if this is what it takes to live in L.A., she'll move back to Wisconsin, but for now, she's going to wait in the car. And then Allison's at home, anxiously watching the news when Keith tries to let himself in, but is stopped by the door chain. And after Allison lets him in, he asks how she feels about Seattle, because he just got offered a job there. Gee, that sounds familiar. She scoffs at the idea that she can just give up her job and life to move there, which also sounds familiar. But he thinks what she needs is to go somewhere that's safe and where she can breathe. He asks her to make a pro-con list, and she agrees if he will pull back from the hard sell. And at the shop, Joe recaps her day to Jake, apparently not anticipating the reaction in clip 10.
Oh, she really lost it when I showed her my handgun. I was just trying to show her options, you know?
Wait a minute, you have a handgun?
Yeah, for protection.
In your apartment where I sleep? Are you nuts?
No! The next time my ex-husband or anyone else attacks me, I'm going to protect myself. You should think about getting one for this place. What if someone sticks this place up?
Well, I'll give him the money.
What if that's not enough? What if you have to protect yourself? A gun can make you safe, Jake.
I knew a lot of guys in Washington had guns. They had them in their houses. They had them in their glove compartments. They had them for protection from all the crazy people in the world. They only shot each other. I found a friend bleeding to death behind a bar, still holding the Browning automatic that was supposed to save his life. He died there on the asphalt. I didn't want to have anything to do with guns then, and I don't want to have anything to do with them now.
Thanks for the lecture. I have to go.
Get rid of the gun, Joe. You don't need it.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Whose bar is asphalt? Like, I'm so little in need of a gun PSA from this franchise that I was just like, an asphalt bar? Like, was the bar in a parking lot?
Yeah, this is, shall we say, a clumsy.
Inelegante.
It's not well done. No. So Keith and Allison get back from dinner to find Billy anxiously waiting for them. He asks to speak to Allison alone, and after a moment, she lets him, whereupon he tells her how sorry he is that he wasn't there for her and asks if she's going to hold it against him for the rest of his life. She denies that she's mad at him, but then breathlessly says she needed a friend to get her through the aftermath of the robbery, claiming part of said aftermath included thinking about getting a gun, which, no, it didn't. She was never thinking about any such thing. Anyway, her point is that when Billy wasn't there for her, Keith was, so Billy doesn't have to feel guilty anymore, and Billy can't with this shit in clip 11.
This guy, he's your hero? This is me, Allison. I was here when he broke your heart.
Good night, Billy.
Night, pal.
I hate when I agree with Billy.
Yeah. Shut up, Keith.
Keith is really the worst.
Yeah.
When we see Billy next, he's showing up to Amanda's early in the morning while she drinks her coffee to tell her he couldn't sleep because of her. He knows what he wants, and it's whatever they're doing together. He was lying in his bed in his apartment and didn't feel like he belonged there anymore. And she agrees that he doesn't. He belongs at her place. Again, introduced in episode 21, currently.
4 days.
Episode 24.
Meeting the dad, saying she loves him. Now he's moving in.
Mm-mm.
Guess this is really a soap now. Oakley doakley. Yeah.
She just has time for one quick fuck before work. That night, Joe shows up at the shop with a huge paper bag. Jake guesses contains an M16. Okay, kind of funny line.
Yeah.
She starts by saying he was probably right about the gun, which is why she got rid of it. But she bought it when she was alone and scared. And maybe she's not so alone anymore, but neither is he. She doesn't want to control him or his business. She just wants to be part of it and for him to have the best bike shop in town. So he goes straight into his desk, pulls out the ledger, and tells her she can take care of the money. She's better at math, and he was being stubborn. And since she put up the money, he thought he should take care of everything himself out of male ego, and everyone is happy with this solution. Joe has one more thing to run by him, and it's what's in the bag, a neon Jake's Bikes sign. Jake is very touched. It is extremely cute,
his reaction. It is extremely cute.
Though he notes that it's not accurate since it's their shop, she asks if she should change the sign, but she better not, he says. And Allison comes home with groceries to find Billy packing clothes in what is clearly a brand new gym bag. He confirms that he's moving in with Amanda. She thinks this is just about her snottiness the other night, but he reminds her that this was just supposed to be a temporary arrangement anyway, in clip 12.
I think we did pretty well, considering.
Yeah, we did. I guess I just didn't expect it to end so suddenly. We're still friends, right?
Sure.
You never did learn how to fold a shirt properly.
Well, maybe he's moving because you criticize him all the time, including about stuff that does not matter. Just about.
And wouldn't even if you were a couple. Also, so much for your best friendship. Great work, guys.
Yeah.
B.
So he takes off, saying he'll get the rest of his stuff later. She makes a last-ditch attempt to stop him by asking about his coffee maker, but of course, Amanda has an even better one. So he stops for one last hug, but, like, again, Andrew Hsu is such a limited performer that he looks extremely annoyed to, like, have to stop on his egress and come back and hug her. Like, there's no sense that he has any regrets or anything about leaving.
No.
Like,
he just looks throughout irritated. The entire scene, he looks as though he's about to burst out laughing. So,
yeah
not so great.
And they never live together again, JK. But that's where we leave it for now. So let's close it up with our episode MVP. Amanda's dad. Yeah, tell him like it is.
Amanda Senior, for sure.
Least valuable player.
Amanda. Kind of.
Yeah, get a grip, Amanda, seriously.
I mean, yeah, not on that, on something else.
Right. I mean, leaving aside the literal criminals that threatened Allison's life, I'm going to say Keith, who still somehow is the almost next worst. And I also spent this whole episode thinking he set this up to make Amanda, make Allison dependent on him somehow. And that it was going to come out that, like, he schemed the whole thing.
Mm.
He didn't, but the fact that I thought he could have tells you how the worst he actually is.
Yeah, I think that's a legit pick. Next time on Again With This, remember the Mancinis? Us either. But there's trouble in Boradice when Michael's old friend Sam makes a move on Jane. And Allison's definitely going to follow through on a move of her own to Seattle with Keith. Good luck, Allison! You should move that bottle of Maalox much closer to your lips before you check out the visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website, againwiththispodcast.com, or on our Twitter account at AWT90210. Or you can move in with us on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm Disputed Chintz Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Romantical Neon, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Improperly Folded Shirt, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.